Do you have the characteristics of EMT? That term isn't being used too much anymore. It's kind of been replaced by first responders. But a long time ago, EMT meant emergency medical treatment. You had to be trained to do that. You just couldn't walk up and jump in an ambulance and become an EMT. It took a lot of training. You had to have a desire to do it. You just couldn't pull somebody off the street and have them be an EMT. But I'm going to talk this morning about EMT, only a different connotation. I'm going to talk about three women. Now, you men, may that be another sermon another time, but the principles are all there with these three women: Elizabeth, Martha, and Tabitha. First of all, Elizabeth. Turn to the first chapter of Luke. It's the only place we see, and there's only about four verses that has anything to say about Elizabeth. And if you consider the 1,150 so verses in the book of Luke, it's less than 0.004 of a percent that he talks about this woman, Elizabeth. Luke is the only one that records this. Matthew doesn't, Mark doesn't, John doesn't. Luke mentions it because in the genealogy, Matthew wrote to the Jews. Jews had a less than favorable view of women. They were second, third-class citizens. But Luke was a Greek, and he wrote to the Greeks, and they had a little bit more favorable. So let's look at Luke 1, and start with verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest, therefore he was a Levite. All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Because in order to be a priest, you had to be from the lineage of Aaron. And Levi had more sons than Aaron. So all priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. So we find here Zacharias, the husband, was a priest. But it also mentions Elizabeth was of the daughters of Aaron. She was a direct descendant from Aaron. So now we have Zacharias and Elizabeth. They're the descendants. Now in verse 6, interesting connotation here. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. They were blameless. They kept all the laws, they kept all the ordinances. And if you ever go through and read the book of Leviticus and all the other things that went along with the Talmud and all that, there were a lot of laws and ordinances. But it mentions here that both Zacharias and Elizabeth kept them, and they were blameless. No one could throw any bad accusations against us. Bible school class this morning, my sister made connotation she could write a lot about me. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of things that people could say about us that we are not blameless. But according to the scripture here, Luke says both Elizabeth and Zacharias are blameless. Now, verse 7 is a very touching verse, and us who are men can't understand this verse very well. Verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now stricken in years. Being barren as a Jewish woman, it was a reproach. That's even mentioned in Genesis chapter 30, verse 23, that if a woman was barren, it was a reproach. So now we see here about Elizabeth, some characteristics. But let's see the result. And we'll pick up the account in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Isaiah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We see here Elizabeth and Zacharias are going to have a son, and great things will happen. And we know, as John the Baptist, that he prepared the way of the Lord. So you wonder, what does Elizabeth mean for us today? She accepted her role in life. The role of life of a woman to begin with in Israel. And they lived in the hill country, because later on throughout the account we find out that she goes back to the hill country. The hill country of Judea is basically around the Dead Sea. Not a whole lot growing there. It's very barren, very hard life. But Elizabeth accepted that. And she was a preacher's wife. I don't think we have any preacher's wives in here this morning. But that's a type of a person that takes quite a bit of thick skin that one would have to have. But she kept the commandments of God blameless. She carried a reproach. She was a woman that was looked down upon. She couldn't go into the sewing circles and going into the coffee shops or anything. She couldn't do that. She was looked down upon because she was barren. But she was rewarded. Her faithfulness was rewarded. As it says, many people would be happy and many would be turned to the Lord. So today, do we complain about our role in life? And I'm talking to men and women here both. Do we complain about our role in our life? Do we complain we have no money? Do we complain we don't have a nice house? Do we complain because we don't have the new BMW SUV? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm in Dowagiac, I'm in Niles, I'm in South Bend, I'm in Bakersfield, I'm in Cassopolis. I'm in the wrong place. Can't do anything. Or, I have bad health. I can't do anything. If you ever get a chance and you think about your health, go to a VA hospital like up in Battle Creek. Just go into the entry room where they're waiting and see what it is about poor health. So Elizabeth accepted her role in life, but yet she still was a servant of God and was rewarded. How about Martha? We don't know a whole lot about Martha, but our good friend Luke tells us about her. In the 10th chapter, in the verse 38 through 42, we know the account. Mary and Martha, Jesus was coming to their house. Mary just sat around and was listening to Jesus. And Martha was complaining because she had to do all the work. The work that was required, the work that was expected that she do as a hostess when somebody comes to the house. In verse 37 of chapter 10 of Luke, 38, excuse me, and now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? bidder, come help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You're missing something, Martha. You're missing something. Well, let's pick up the Martha story in the book of John. And this will be in John chapter 11. We'll just start with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, and saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, brothers and sisters, lived in a little town of Bethany, which is only about 7 miles from Jerusalem. But here we're going to see a different Martha. Remember the first one that Luke recorded, how she was complaining about having to do all the work. Let's drop down to verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. We got a reversal here. Did Martha understand when Jesus said, Martha, there's one thing you lack? Here we see roles reverse. Martha goes to meet Jesus, and Mary stays at the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you would have just paid attention, you know, if you were here in Bethany, Lazarus wouldn't die. Verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. My goodness, she must have learned quite a bit since Luke 10 till John 11 here. Lord, you're going to do something. I don't care what you do. I just know you're going to do something because I believe you can do it. It's a little bit different than the one with Mary and Martha earlier. Well, we still continue on. Verses 23 and 24 give us a little insight of how much effect Jesus had in his teaching. Verse 23, and Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. The Old Testament Jews had no concept of heaven. When they died in the Old Testament, basically that was about it. They didn't have this. But Jesus had been teaching about this. And then in verse 23 or 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 27 is very emphatic. It's the same confession that Peter gave. Here we see Martha giving it. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now we pick up again. Here is the sister-to-sister twist, if you want to call it. In verse 28, when she had said so, she went on her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master's come and calleth for thee. Okay. She wanted to share. She didn't keep it to herself. She wanted to share. Then one more characteristic we find out about Martha. We drop down into verse 39. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. She believed, yet she had some doubts and question. But yet, all these characteristics of Martha that we've talked about here, the results were the same as Elizabeth, as we read here in verse 39. In verse 45, that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen things which Jesus had done believed on him. Martha's example here caused a lot of people there to believe in him. So how does the Martha apply to us in the 21st century? She knew what was expected of her as a hostess. She knew what had to be done. Do we? She learned what Jesus said, corrected it, changed her priorities, and now she is going after Jesus and running to him. She believed, and she confessed in front of all who were there about Jesus. She was practical with her thinking, but yet she forgot. You see any characteristics of those today in our lives? Do we have the conviction about what we have to do and confess Jesus to those around us? Do we learn from our mistakes when God's Word shows us different? Do we sometimes get bogged down with what is at hand and what we think is important until we find out what is? Are we a Martha? Let's turn over to chapter 9 of Acts, and we'll pick up the account of Tabitha. Some people, or the Greek, pronounced it as Dorcas, but Luke uses both names, so we're in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good deeds and alms deeds, which she did. Joppa. Joppa was the seaport for Jerusalem. It was about 15, 20 miles, or Jerusalem's about 15, 20 miles in from the coast. Joppa was the seaport for Jerusalem. Joppa was the city where the cedars of Lebanon were floated down the Mediterranean Sea from up around Syria down to Jerusalem and then transported from Joppa to Jerusalem to build the temple and Solomon's house. Also, this is the town where Jonah started on his voyage that got him in trouble. And also Joppa is the place where Peter's vision comes to him about the Cornelius and teaching the gospel to the Gentiles. So that's Joppa, and this is where Dorcas or Tabitha was from. And then continued on in verse 38, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he could not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him in the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them forth, kneeled down, prayed, and turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. When someone dies in the Middle East now, we see what happens. I mean, they don't have 3 days before the funeral. They don't sometimes have a week before the funeral. They wash the body, and it's usually taken and put in a tomb right away. This is what it was in this time here with Dorcas. They'd washed her body. Now, Lydda is about 10 miles away. So just briefly, if we were to walk from the building here to Niles, how long would that take? Oh, then you got to come back. I forgot. You got to come back. That's what this situation was here. They'd washed Tabitha, put her in an upper chamber, and then they decided to send a couple men to Lydda to get Peter, about 10 miles. So even if you started out and walked from there to here and then back again, that's going to take most of a day. I mean, it's going to take me more than a day, but anyway. But we see a little bit different circumstances here than what was necessary. Now, we all know about Dorcas, and some churches have Dorcas societies where they make garments and things. But there was also another term used here about Tabitha, that she was good and almsgiving. What is almsgiving? You usually think of money when you bring alms. But basically, the Greek here means that these were deeds of kindness, not with any monetary value attached to them. They were helpful acts of kindness. So this lady was doing this. Now it mentions widows. It mentioned that the widows were showing Peter all the garments that they had made. Not only were women who could not have children a reproach to that society, widows were not much higher on the rung of society. If the widow obviously doesn't have a husband and hadn't taken care of her, she was destitute. She could not get a job. She had no means of support except through the temple. So Dorcas, Tabitha, was fulfilling a very special need in that society. She was providing clothes for widows, providing clothes for the outcast. So, the results of this were in verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Tabitha today, she was fulfilling a need that the society had, and she used her abilities to help the low class of that society, but she was an active person. So today, do we fulfill a need in our society? Let's break that down a little bit closer. Do we fulfill a need that our congregation does for our community? Do you have a computer, tablet, phone, mail? The list goes on. There are things that we can do. And that's not just the woman, as I mentioned before, but I wanted to take these three women because the scripture doesn't say a whole lot about them, like only 3 verses, 4 verses, 5 verses, and all of the New Testament, or even just the Gospels. But yet we find some very encouraging aspects of this. We all have a place of service to the Lord. We are all an example. And we are all Elizabeths, Marthas, and Tabithas. Do we accept our role in society like Elizabeth? Do we learn from our mistakes like Martha? And do we fulfill a niche that needs to be taken care of in our society like Tabitha? All three of these cases, the results were the same. Many believed and were made happy. So this morning, that all starts with hearing the word. We've heard a portion and believing like we saw Martha and confessing like Martha and being baptized. So this morning, the songs that Carl picked were rather unique. We've all said we know that the speaker always gives a topic to the song leader. And I told Carl there's only one song that I needed, and that was the one we're going to be singing. But he picked out songs, and it was kind of unique. When he called yesterday, my sister and brother-in-law were in the house, and I didn't want them to know that I was speaking today because they may not show up, you know. So I was trying to be hush-hush of what songs to sing, but Carl picked them out very well. So this morning, the song that is mentioned here, there's much to do, and there is work on every hand. The cry goes out for workers. So this morning, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, now is the time to respond.